Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Dennis Rodman is a one-of-a-kind, certified, gold-plated, grade A, unadulterated nutter.
Oh, Dennis Rodman!
He head-butted refs, went on benders with Kim Jong-un, and flew 5,000 miles to shag Madonna for cash.
I almost had a sex with a midget and a paraplegic. Swear to God, in my house upstairs on the beach.
From pasta up the bum to nine-day marriages, buckle in for his utterly insane story. My name is Jack Rivlin. Welcome back to The Upshot. I've got Zach with me, as always.
Hello.
Hello. And we are joined by Mr. Mickey Down.
Hello, guys.
Welcome. We're joined together to discuss probably one of our most mental characters, I think.
I think possibly the most mental character we've talked about. The least, the most eccentric, at least. Just, I don't know, he honestly just doesn't give a fuck about anything, really, does he?
Yeah. And his story, in a way, it's sort of like emblematic of that like 90s MTV nihilism. But also, he's just one of a kind in any era. He just doesn't give a fuck.
Is it tragic?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, he's had his struggles and his dark moments, but yeah. This is a fun one.
It's the story of the American dream.
Kind of. A pretty weird American dream. And obviously, because it's such a special episode, I have got us some merch. So I'm wearing my Dennis Rodman t-shirt and I've acquired this very rare item, which is a Dennis Rodman action figure, Bad As I Wanna Be. It has interchangeable heads and clothes. So he's in his Chicago Bulls kit, but actually it comes with a sparkly top and some denim little shorts.
Is it in a Chicago Bulls kit or is it unbranded?
It was unbranded.
I don't think they want anything to do with this.
I apologise to the franchise.
North America white and reds.
But it's a cross-dressing outfit, basically. There was one doll that had him in the wedding dress, that iconic look, but the face didn't look like him at all. So I went for realism. Haven't taken this out of the box.
I know. I was going to say, I do really want to change this doll into its other outfit because the other outfit is a lot more fun.
Yeah, we all want to play with the dolly.
That would depreciate the value.
What do you think's underneath the shorts?
You want to see if the doll has a dick?
Yeah. It says it contains small parts.
It's just the first that question.
The hour of choking has it. Just, you know.
I mean, we could. Now I want to open
to preview it. Some of the later of the pod.
We will be opening the box.
We could. You could open it now. It could be a sort of unboxing video.
Oh, I am very keen for it to maintain its value. It's just really hard to get, by the way.
We're going to return it after the pod. Times are tough for the upshots.
Resale value. All right. Should I kick us off? Should we just get into this fucking story?
Please do.
So Dennis Rodman grew up in Dallas in Texas. He had a pretty tough childhood. His dad walked out of the family when he was very young. His dad would go on to father 29 kids in total. And his dad's name, believe it or not, was Philander.
We should be doing a podcast about him.
Yeah, he's probably got enough stories. So I think his dad's story is that he was a Vietnam vet and then he just went back to Vietnam and set up shop there with loads of kids.
So his kids are Vietnamese? Or?
Yeah, Dennis said for the rest of his life, like random half Vietnamese, really tall guys would like come up to him and be like, I'm your half brother. He's got like 30 siblings.
Can't believe his name is Philander.
Yeah, Philander.
Nominative.
Is it Philander or Philander?
No, full on just Philander.
Okay, Philip Ander.
No, you know what you're gonna, what your kid's gonna be if you christen him Philander.
Anyway, President of the United States.
Anyway, so after Philander walks out, Dennis is raised by his mum and sisters, who they like to dress him up as a girl. His mum gives him the nickname The Worm because he always wiggles when he plays pinball. But it's a pretty tough childhood. His sisters are the favourites. They're like the big basketball prospects, actually, because he's a really small child. And he says of his youth, I was stealing a rabbit in the projects, but I never killed anybody. So, you know, it's sort of like petty crime, falls in with the wrong crowd. And at the age of 20, his mum finally kicks him out and says, like, look, it's time for you to stand on your own 2 feet. And he's homeless for the next 2 years. So he's this, like, pretty small kid. He hadn't been really any good at basketball. And he's just drifting. He's homeless. He loses his virginity to a prostitute in Dallas.
How old is he?
About 20. Mm-hmm. He's a bit of a late bloomer. He gets a job working as
relatively.
No shame in that. He gets a job working as a janitor in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, but he ends up getting fired because he steals 50 watches from a gift store. I think he works a way around the alarm, and he hands them all out to friends and family, and they catch him, and it looks like he's going to go to jail, but the police say to him, look, give us the name of everyone you've given a watch to. So he hands them a list, and they recover every single watch. And he gets off. And I think he considers that like a real sliding doors moment, yeah, because he could have just fallen into the system.
The police were soft back then.
Yeah, it does seem so. Yeah. Would you like to have seen a harsher punishment?
Yeah, exactly.
Icon
Dennis
Rodman. I
wouldn't have to be here doing this podcast.
Anyway, around this time, having got off jail, he also hits a growth spurt. So having been about 5'6" in his late teens, Dennis shoots up to 6'7". And one of his sister's friends suggests that he gets into basketball. And
was that also when he got into stealing watches?
Got a bit of reach on it. Yeah. Yeah.
They were high up.
Anyway, he tries out for the local college and ends up getting scouted by another college in this tiny town, Durant, in Oklahoma. And so he moves across the country. And it's a complete change of scenery for a guy who'd been, you know, mixed up in gang culture in a big city like Dallas. Suddenly he's planted in this town. It's only 4,000 people population, and it's a super racist, you know, all white country bumpkin vibe. Real change of scene. So he's pretty nervous. And before his first semester, the college say to him, look, why don't you come and help at this basketball camp we do for younger kids? Good way to sort of get to know the surroundings. And so he's kind of like a camp counselor slash coach. Age 22, he cuts a pretty strange figure at the camp. He's, you know, he acts very odd. He's shy. He says he walks around with quarters in his ears, the coins. And he's like, I don't really know why I did it. I just kind of wanted to be weird.
Was this sort of like a party trick to impress the kids?
I think it's more to like freak people out. I think there's a bit of a thing of like wanting people to be a bit scared of him so that he can maintain his...
In his ears, you mean in the hole? Like,
no, I think in like where you hear from.
Wow. Okay.
How big's a quarter? They're pretty big.
They're big,
yeah. Anyway, no one really spends much time with him because they're all a bit baffled, apart from one kid who's attending the camp, and that is 12-year-old Burn Rich. So Burn he's a pretty shy and withdrawn character himself. He'd been through this horrible ordeal a year earlier where he'd accidentally shot and killed his best friend in a hunting accident. So he's traumatized. His parents send him to the camp to try and, you know, help him turn a corner in life. And him and Dennis somehow recognize, you know, they're kind of kindred.
Their vulnerabilities.
They're kindred spirits. So despite the fact that he's 12 and Dennis is 22, they become inseparable. And eventually Burn invites Dennis to come round to his for a sleepover. I'm making this sound like it has an ominous ending. It's going to be okay, guys.
And the worm came out. Mr. Wiggle.
Let me show you my pinball technique. Anyway, so Dennis stays overnight sleeping on this 12-year-old kid's floor. And
what do the parents think?
Well, apparently the parents are kind of happy because it's the first time he slept outside their room since his hunting accident. He'd always had to sleep in their room with them.
He's brought a friend back and hasn't shot him.
Yeah. Focusing on the positives. Yeah, the friend's 22, has quarters in his ears, lost his virginity to a prostitute. I'm sure this is a good role model for our 12-year-old son. Actually, he turns out to be an amazing role model. And in a way, they learn as much from each other. So Dennis ends up moving in with Burn Rich's family, and they live in an even smaller town near the college in Oklahoma. So it's just like on a farm. And this is like a bizarre move for this
city kid who'd been involved in petty crime. Suddenly he's like getting up at 5 a.m, milking cows, moving hay bales, shooting the shit with a 12-year-old. Apparently all the townsfolk think that he's shagging the mum, just because they're like, they can't understand what the dynamic is. Yeah,
what are they getting out of this?
But they're also, they're pretty racist there.
Yeah.
And it's like suddenly the 6'7" black college basketball player's there hanging around with a 12-year-old. Robin says he gets into the odd scrape in the town. So there's one time he's shagging this girl. She's like, oh, my parents won't be home for ages. And he's shagging this girl in her house. And suddenly they hear a knock on the door. The dad comes in and finds them and ends up chasing him out the house, shooting at him. He's like running through like a cornfield or something, naked, holding his clothes. He literally says in his book, it was like a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's like absolute textbook. It's kind of very American scene, fleeing this.
That's another sliding doors moment for him, surely.
As in, could have been shot and killed in the back. Yeah, it would have just been like a horrible murder. So yeah, anyway, he's kind of having fun in this Oklahoma town. It's a very weird environment. His best and only friend is 12.
Has he lost all the contact with his parents at this point? I mean, I know his dad's in Vietnam.
His dad's philandering.
Doing what he does, but what about his mother?
I think they're still in touch loosely, but like they're not particularly close. As I say, his sisters were kind of the favourites.
Yeah.
And I think even at this point, up until this point, he had been a bit of a like, I don't know, like the underachiever in the family.
Mm-hmm. He was got the impression he was a little bit of a loner, really.
Yeah, apart from his 12-year-old mate and the cows. Anyway, all that is about to change, and so is his life.
It is, because in 1986, Dennis is drafted for the NBA, picked by the Detroit Pistons. So he's really not expecting at this point to be drafted at all. Like he's at home with the riches. He's out in the yard playing basketball with Burn when Burn's dad comes running out. He's like, Dennis, you've been drafted. And Dennis, like, is really excited, sprints inside, runs straight into a glass door. And
weren't even watching the TV.
Yeah, you think he wasn't in the draft?
Yeah. I don't know.
Was his college so shitty that they just didn't think he'd be
drafted? No, I mean, he got drafted because his college were good enough. Yeah. I think he was presumably expecting to be drafted.
I think it's probably too boring for a 12-year-old and
he was
out of friends to watch.
It's a bit of a mismatch playing basketball against a 12-year-old. He's 6'7". Yeah. He's just been drafted in the NBA. I win again. I'll be a quarter, please.
Stick it in your ear.
Always the same.
But it's a big change for Dennis. So he moves then to Detroit. So back to a big city, but he's not really earning that much at this point. He's just been drafted. But there's already signs of his generous streak. So he's seen handing out $100 bills to homeless people around the city.
Nice.
Which is very nice. He also, at this point, he doesn't drink at all. He doesn't party. He's very much just basketball, really.
He shags, doesn't he?
He shags, but... yeah, it's mostly basketball.
He was almost killed for shagging.
Yeah, that's how much he shagged. Yeah.
there's a story of 1987. The Pistons are playing the New York Knicks and they win in New York. And after the match, all of his teammates go out clubbing and they're like, Dennis, come with us. And Dennis refuses and stays at his hotel room with a 13-year-old ball boy that he's met called Peter Giannopoulos. And they just stay home eating pizza and playing Nintendo.
So again, no one's seeing a theme here.
Yeah. So again, he's just hanging out with a child,
early teens lad.
Is it one of those? Is it like Mickey Mouse Club type?
What, as in your frozen childhood?
Time, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's he clearly but he relates to kids that age.
Strange though, because in those cases, like Michael Jackson, for example, the reason given behind it is that because he was a child star, he sort of skipped that whole age of life. He was forced to grow up so quickly that he was sort of searching for that child.
Well, whereas Rodman was actually
Rodman was a late bloomer. Really.
He was like 22 when he was drafted, wasn't he, to the NBA?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, maybe because he had like quite a tough upbringing, quite a lonely one, he kind of wants to recover his teenage years by hanging out with teenagers. Yeah,
but he was also having sex.
It was a lot of sex, actually. Yeah. So in his autobiography, he dedicates an entire chapter to... the title of the chapter is sex. And as you might expect, he offers quite a lot of sort of brooding, very thoughtful insights into the promiscuous lifestyle of athletes. Or in his words, the NBA uniform was the ticket to whoreville and fuckville and slutville.
That's a nice turn of phrase.
Yeah. He actually gets sued, though, for $1.5 million by a cheerleader who says that he gave her herpes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you be sued for that?
Yeah.
Dennis won the case. He spends $225,000 on legal fees.
That can't really be proved, can it? Proven.
Why? Did he even have herpes? Step
he
one.
He says that he didn't. Yeah.
He probably did, but...
And it was, well, so he still ends up spending shitloads of money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those tickets to Whoreville and Slutville and Fuckville are not free.
They're expensive, yeah.
Fares are going through the roof.
Around this time, he also suffers his first dick break. So he's at this boat party in Dallas and he meets a girl there. And I'm actually going to let him describe it because I think he does a better job than I could.
I was in a boat one time in Dallas, Texas. They go out there all day long, you know, in the sun, drinking, party, go to the bar afterward at night, drunk as a motherfucker, this. My girlfriend, like, whatever. We're in the back of the boat, the big king-size bed. You know, she said, we gotta have sex. She loves sex, man. So I think I'm gonna try something different. She said, go over there, walk over there. I said, okay, I'll walk over there. She said, I want you to run and jump in my pussy. I said, all right, great. So I go run on the boat, and I dive like this. And literally, dude, I'm like, oh, blood everywhere.
Nice. So she wanted him to run, jump, and
penetrate, land spirits. Yeah. He's so hard to understand, though, don't you think?
Yeah.
I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
He broke his dick in half. Is that a banjo snap or is that a different injury?
I think it's a different injury, and that's like a tear within the skin. Yeah, a snap and a tear.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a serious break.
I think a banjo snap, you wouldn't have that much blood. And also,
I've never,
he's pretty circumcised. He's American, isn't he?
True. Mm. I don't
know. Get the dolls. Get the dolls shorts.
Get those shorts off.
A mate of mine has done this, but in a lot less acrobatic circumstances. He was just on a sofa with a girl at a party and then fell off the sofa.
Oh, what?
Directly onto it.
Onto his cock?
Yeah.
Landed on the tip.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's called, I think they call it a sprain, technically. But yeah,
it's not a break, is it? It's a bone.
It's a clean fracture.
Just get an airline.
Just get a little splint for it. A sling.
She thought he was dead, he said.
Yeah.
She doesn't sound like the sharpest tool. She wanted the guys to take a running jump into sex.
It's very grim, but...
So he is partying at this point.
He says that he was drinking a bit at that party, I think.
So he's starting to get sucked into the lifestyle.
Yeah. Whoreville is starting to...
He's gone native in Whoreville.
It's actually not the only time that he dices with death, though. So after his first season with the Pistons, he goes back to Dallas to visit some friends and goes on a night out with a friend of his who's a drug dealer. And they go into this bar and no sooner have they stepped through the door than someone pulls out a gun and starts shooting at them.
Fucking hell.
So they... have to like leg it out and jump in his car and speed off. And Dennis says that at this point he was like, fuck, like I'm an NBA player now. I need to stop hanging out with these bad dudes.
Why were they shooting at him? Because he's a
Because his mate was a drug dealer.
Oh, sorry. Not a Pistons fan. Oh right, yeah.
He also starts to get a bit of unwanted attention. So Dennis says that after arriving in the NBA, men start asking him if he'll shag their wives while they watch. So he says that this normally happens in the bathroom. So he'll be in a restaurant or a bar or whatever, and the guy will follow him in and proposition him basically to shag his wife. He says in his book, my response to them is simple. Why? Why do you want this? They say, my wife wants it. I look at the guy and say, okay, you want to see me fuck your wife? I'd like to see the expression on your face if I ever did fuck your wife.
Enjoying the accent.
Yeah, exactly. Did he ever go through with it?
No, he refused.
That sounds like something he would have done.
Yeah.
Lapped up.
But he says, I'd like to see the expression on your face, but I think those guys do want it. So the expression on their face would be
like contorted in pleasure.
Yeah.
Probably wanking.
That's what they want.
It's not like, oh no, I haven't thought this through.
I think, I think his point was that if I fucked your wife, then she's not coming back to you.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, right. Do they want that as well? I mean, I'm not. I think
you're not big into cucks.
I'm not a cuck myself.
You're not.
Well, I mean, you never truly know yourself until you've done something.
Exactly. Is that why you wouldn't do it? Because you're a bit worried that it would.
I don't want to watch Dennis Rodman fucking my wife. No.
Well, just in case that you'd really like
it. In case I'm like, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Rodman.
This is a part of my psyche I haven't really explored.
I'm glad I approached you in a bathroom and asked for this.
Do you reckon these are people who have are into the cuck game already, or do you think these are people who specifically want Dennis Rodman?
No, I think these are expert cucks, and he's like the final boss.
You've been cucked
by a local bloke. Yeah. Now get cucked by basketball star Dennis Rodman.
Was you getting this doll sort of the soft launch?
Like, Liz, what do you think of this doll? Nice legs on him. I'm going to have him shag a doll of my wife. See where we go from there.
Yeah, I don't know. But doesn't he say the cucking thing? It's like just follows him around everywhere. Guys are always asking it.
That's what makes me think that these are people who are opportunistic and think, fuck, I've never tried this before. I'm going to try it. I'm going to start off with Dennis Rodman. Because it's unlikely he's going to bump into multiple people who love cucking.
Well, so you think they're like getting an autograph and then they look at his hands and they're looking at his package.
I can imagine that about my wife, Chrissy.
I'd like to see him break his dick in my house.
he's clearly a bit of a sex symbol already at this point. Do you think this is happening to all NBA players, or is Dennis particularly attractive to cucks?
He's kind of a known shagger, so maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
I reckon it is. It's probably an occupational hazard if you're a big name player, mm-hmm. but he's one of the biggest.
Is he big?
Is he? At this point, I think he's not.
Oh, right. Okay.
Put the trousers down.
There really is only one way to know.
So my mate Fred and my other mate Frankie, they were at they were in a bar.
Leave the names out for this one.
Yeah. Who shall rename nameless?
Someone who isn't me.
they were in a bar in Austin. I was like, if you're in Austin, you need to go to this bar. And they turned up, and within about, they said, 30 seconds of being in this bar, they got approached by this guy who was sort of like cowboy Texan kind of dude. It was like, well, hey there, pretty little couple from England. How about you come back to my hotel room? You fuck my wife, I watch. I fuck your wife, you watch. And they're like, oh, that's a very kind offer, but I'm going to have to decline on that one. Anyway, so he goes, oh, no, no worries, no worries. And then apparently they're in the smoking area and the wife comes over and was like, hey, I just want to say, I really apologize if my husband came on a little bit strong. Like, I didn't mean I'll offend y'all or anything. Why don't you be welcome in Austin? And they were like, oh, yeah, no, it's fine. Honestly, don't worry about it. And then she went, but I just want to check that you definitely don't want it. And they're like, no, it's still the same answer. And then like, sort of like the evening went on. And apparently he kept coming back with different sort of proposition. Like, but how about we all go to dinner? I'll pay. And like, just kept trying to like bargain it. It's just
do you want $2,000?
I'll just lick a pussy a little bit.
Right, final deal.
Were they not tempted?
Nah. Apparently they were.
This guy was gross, right?
Quite old.
Everyone
like,
has a price,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Well, was there an offer where they could shag his wife, but they didn't have to let him
shag
theirs?
I think they tried every trick in the book. Yeah. Like, it's got to the point where, like, let's not be unreasonable now here, sir.
You fuck my wife, I'll put my phone on and be a few doors down and just listen in.
Just tell me you fucked my wife.
Just text me afterwards, let me know how it went, okay?
Love that. Keep the cucking stories coming if you're listening and you've got one. We'd love to hear it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/acast and use code acast for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So it might surprise you to hear that during this injury-plagued fuckfest, Dennis actually had a girlfriend, the lovely Annie Bakes. So they meet in 1987, have a kid in 1988, and they're together for a long time. They get married in 1992, but only last 82 days, before they get divorced. After the divorce, I'm sorry to report that Dennis suffers his second dick break. So this time it's with a girl called Tracy, who he takes out for dinner in Chicago. And his suspicions are aroused when at dinner, she pulls out a copy of 10 Ways to Suck Dick.
Are there 10 ways?
Apparently,
call me
Tracy.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
As a missionary with socks on, man. Exactly. Maybe haven't experienced them, but like,
I haven't got the book myself, but maybe that should have been part of the merch.
Yeah, so she's come with the dog.
She's brought that to the date.
She brought it to the date. Yeah.
Well, everyone's quite premeditated with their shagging with Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to hope that he's going to follow through, right? If you're going on a date with him.
True, yeah.
Let's just wait. Let's get to the third date first.
Okay, so she brings the book out.
How to Suck Dick, the book.
She brings the book because she clearly wasn't studying hard enough because his dick breaks during...
In her
sex.
Mouth.
I don't think it was in her mouth. I think it was.
She tried the 11th.
I think it was in the other end.
But, is it that because it's like he's weakened it? It's like when you have a sports injury, like it's never quite the same.
Yeah.
Or is it just vigorous activity?
I think it just got quite rough, really. And
she bit it off.
I'm still trying to think what the 10 ways would be.
Put your mouth in. I thought that was it.
You know, like how Portugal, they always say we have 100 different dishes with cod, but by number like 20, it's just like cod in the microwave.
Yeah.
Cod with some cabbage
salt
near
on it.
Yeah. It's sucking dick is sucking dick.
Yeah.
There you go. Save your money on the book if you're listening. One star.
Exactly. Blurb. Jack Rivlin, the upshot. Sucking dick is sucking dick.
Changing tones.
Good.
I'm going to fast forward to 1993, which was a bit of a dark time for Dennis, but also very pivotal in how he developed as a character. So he was going through a pretty messy divorce at the time. He hadn't seen his daughter for a few months, I think. And at the same time, his team, the Detroit Pistons, were doing pretty badly. You should probably mention they were really good. They'd won the NBA twice, I think 89 and 90. But they were really struggling this year. The coach left. A load of his longtime teammates had left as well. And there were also rumours going around, I'm not sure whether they were true or not, that his wife had had an affair with one of his Detroit Pistons teammates. So Dennis is going through a really, really tough time, struggling a lot. And one night he drives to the parking lot outside the Palace of Auburn Hills, which is Detroit's arena. And he's sitting there in the car park. It's like 2 a.m. and he's cradling a rifle in his lap. And he's thinking basically that he wants to end it all. So he says in his book, from the outside, I'm not going to do the stupid voice for this section.
Yeah, good call. So this definitely is a tone shift.
Yeah. From the outside, I had everything I could want. From the inside, I had nothing but an empty soul and a gun in my lap. So he basically says that he felt at this time that he was living his life as an imposter, that he was living out this character of Dennis Rodman that everybody, it was what everybody wanted from him, but he wasn't being the real him. And he describes this moment sitting in the car as like a duel between the real Dennis Rodman and the imposter. And eventually he falls asleep and he's woken up by the police in the morning with the gun still on his lap. So he says that what happened in that moment was that he metaphorically shot the imposter and the real Dennis Rodman came out, basically. So from that point on, he basically becomes the Dennis Rodman that we know. So he just decides that he doesn't give a fuck about anything and that he's going to live his life exactly how he wants to. Mm. So he starts dressing very eccentrically. There's this moment shortly afterwards where in the middle of a match for the Pistons, he's on the bench and he just takes off his shoes and pulls out a magazine and puts his feet up and just starts reading it. There was a newspaper reporter at the time said,
"Wild,
yeah, well, gets wilder." This is early days.
He wrote his cock before. Right?
True, I suppose. But it was all sex stuff.
Gets the Financial Times out and starts reading. David, Dennis, you've gone incredible. You've gone mad.
Yeah. The match report said it's like he was sitting on the Lido deck of a cruise ship waiting for the cabin steward to deliver a gin and juice.
So the old Dennis Rodman was basically this like workhorse with his head down, and the new guy is like this rebel. Is that the idea? Who just says he doesn't give a fuck?
I think
so. His book is called, which comes out leading with this story, it's called Bad As I Want to Be. So I think that's the idea, isn't it? It's like, from now on, I'm going to be bad.
He didn't think he was bad enough.
What, with the dick breaking,
getting shot at in the bar?
Yeah, well, he definitely becomes much more rebellious from this point onwards, right? So his fresh start is really complete. He leaves the Detroit Pistons in 1993 and signs for the San Antonio Spurs. And he's definitely much more rebellious. So this is when he starts dyeing his hair. He turns up for his debut with his hair dyed. He starts well for them on the court. He's like hoovering up the rebounds, which is basically his job in the game. But on the court, he starts having these disciplinary issues. So he's ejected from games twice for headbutting. One time they kick him off and he just refuses to move. He also headbutts a mascot after an altercation. And apparently when they ask him about it, he just says, "I bring excitement to the game," which is really a defense.
But at least no one gets hurt in that scenario.
Well, the mascot.
Headbutting a mascot. It's got a big
padded
head.
Yeah, true. And actually, Dennis is pretty aggy with his teammates as well. So he basically just doesn't speak to anyone in the locker room. A lot of teammates kind of try and he just ignores them. I don't know if he's still got the quarters in his ears, but he literally just blanks people. Apart from one guy, Jack Haley, who the New York Times say he's the only guy who speaks fluent Rodman. And somehow Haley breaks through with Rodman. So apparently at the beginning, he also, you know, got nothing back from Dennis. But he like gradually, you know, he's just talking at him these monologues. And eventually Dennis is like, maybe this guy's okay. And so he decides to test Haley by inviting him and his girlfriend for a night out. So they go for this night out. Dennis is like, "Yo, meet me at this club." They get there and it's a gay club. They go in and Dennis is like, "Right, I'm going to really freak this guy out." They're sitting at the table and there are strippers. And Dennis calls over this guy who's like, you know, an oiled up bloke in a G-string. And he's like, "Give this motherfucker a dance." And it's like getting the stripper to gyrate in Jack Haley's face. And Haley's just like really cool about it. He just pulls out a banknote and slips it in the guy's G-string. And from that moment on, he's accepted by Dennis Rodman and the pair are inseparable. He's crossed over. The rest of the team aren't so successful.
I hope he didn't do that with Burn Rich as well.
Let me teach you a thing or two about life, son.
Where is Burn at this point?
Burn is going to pop up shortly, actually. So his teammates still can't break through, but Dennis is becoming more and more of a media personality. Obviously, the media are loving all his like maverick vibe. He turns up to the MTV Awards in a sparkly halter neck top, not unlike the one that comes with this action figure, actually. It looks very similar. And they're obviously all over that. He's like this maverick figure. And this catches the eye of none other than the queen of pop, Madonna. And Madonna starts making these like quite flirty comments and interviews trying to catch Dennis's eye.
"I would like to fuck Dennis Rodman."
She basically does. She says
something like that.
She says, "I think Dennis Rodman is cool as shit," which is, you know, quite a statement. Mm-hmm. And she persuades this magazine to set up an interview where she's going to interview Dennis Rodman. So they're like, you know, "You're going to go meet Madonna." Madonna's the biggest pop star on the planet at the time. She's like Taylor Swift now, but bigger because it's pre-internet. Everyone's just a bigger star. And so Rodman, you know, learns about this shoot. He's flying off to see Madonna and he can bring one friend. So naturally, he brings Burn Rich, who I think is actually in his early 20s by now.
In my head, he's still 12.
Yeah, early 20s.
It's frozen time.
It's 1994.
Okay, right. Yeah.
He probably is. He's probably late teens, early 20s. He's old enough to meet the Queen of Pop.
Old enough to know better.
Anyway, so they arrive, there's a photo shoot before the interview, and even in the photo shoot, Dennis and Madonna are just like getting off. They're just all over each other. That night they go out to a gay club. Apparently Madonna's trying to impress him by kissing girls, and he's a bit like, "You're trying a bit hard, but whatever.
And turned on.
Yeah, but I like it. Yeah. Don't know what Burn Rich is making of it all, sitting in the corner with a lemonade
with a Game
on
Boy.
His Nintendo Switch. Yeah. Yeah, Game Boy.
Playing Tetris.
Cover your eyes, son. Anyway, they go back to Madonna's house and shag.
Burn Rich as well.
Dennis Rodman and Madonna. Burn Rich goes back to his room.
Exactly. Let me introduce you to the art of cucking.
Anyway, this begins a six-month fling between Dennis and Madonna, which obviously they're like the most famous couple in the world at this point. I was quite surprised, though, reading Dennis's book to discover a very graphic account of their first shag. They're on pretty good terms now. I didn't
Were you surprised by that?
I mean, it's pretty graphic.
I'd be surprised if there wasn't.
It's quite rare that someone will spill the beans like that.
When was the book written?
Yeah, mid-90s, 95.
The book was written in mid-90s, yeah. I mean, you can get away with anything then.
Yeah, well, okay, we're going to read out an excerpt. And what I thought is, Mickey, I'll be Dennis.
Okay.
And you be Madonna.
Okay.
And we'll read this exchange.
Yeah.
After we kissed for a while, she stopped and looked at me.
Are you going to eat my pussy first?
Oh, is that the way it is?
That's the way it is.
Believe me, I won't do that, darling.
You aren't going to just eat me out? That's what I like to get me ready to go.
No, I can't do that.
I like someone to eat me out and get me loose.
I said no to Madonna. A lot of guys don't believe I could turn her down, but I did. She got over it. She started stroking my shaft and getting into it. Before long, I was inside her and we were fucking. I would say I was making love to her, but you don't make love to a woman the first time you meet her.
Sorry, I was going.
Don Corleone.
Does he have loads of like break marks on his dick?
He must do, yeah. It's weathered. Yeah.
Probably, is it like when you like... I don't know what this is, but like when you've been through so much.
I think it's like when you tie up in a tree and you can see how old it is. The rings. Yeah, I imagine.
Or like if someone comes out of prison, they've got loads of scars on their back.
I imagine his dick is quite scarred.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to bother Madonna.
No.
So I thought.
Probably added to it, for
a guy who's kind of quite sexually enlightened, I was surprised to hear of him not wanting to, you know, do a bit of cunnilingus, but he's kind of making out like it's a power play, right?
Yeah, like that sort of American, like sort of gangster thing, like you don't go down on...
Like Junior Soprano?
Yeah.
Is that like, why I slipped into Vito Corleone accent?
Yeah,
come to my dad on the wedding day and don't eat the pussy.
Didn't Joe Pesci say that as well? Like he doesn't, it makes you lower than a woman.
But that's like I think Rodman does happily do it. It's just, he's trying to, a bit like I don't put out on a first date. He's trying to hold something back. He says, a lot of guys couldn't turn her down, but I did. I think that's what it's about.
He knew that if he didn't eat her out, then she'd come back for more.
Yeah, I think so. I choose to believe that he's doing it for that reason. Tactical.
Yeah, you're right.
Not because he's like some, you know, Stone Age misogynist. Yeah. Because that's not his vibe. Anyway, their relationship goes on for 6 months. Dennis, in his book, makes out that Madonna's basically obsessed with him, and it's kind of him not that into it. He says she desperately wanted his baby. Apparently she referred to him as a prime physical specimen. And Rodman says that they have an agreement that if he gets her pregnant, she will pay him $20 million. So big money.
But is he trying to get her pregnant throughout this?
Yeah. So
he's like desperately trying to get her pregnant.
Well, I mean, $20 million.
In 6 months, they're quite young. 6 months.
Yeah.
They're shagging quite a lot.
You think he would, yeah.
You think he would.
But they're not, you know, they're on quite different schedules, so they're not always timing it that well, if you're familiar.
I forgot he was an NBA player because we haven't spoken about basketball once. He brought up rebounds. And I was like, fuck, actually, I forgot this is a basketball podcast.
He headbutted the mascot. I think
that's true. That was it.
Yeah, we should actually say
mostly about his dick.
He's one of the most decorated NBA players of all time.
I'm coming into that.
We'll briefly touch on it later. Anyway, there's this, on the subject of him trying to get her pregnant, there's this famous story he tells where he's in Vegas playing a dice game, you know, just gambling millions, and he suddenly, one of the croupiers says, Mr. Rodman, there's a telephone call for you, and it's Madonna calling from New York City, and she says, Dennis, I'm ovulating. So he's like, oh, shit, fucking up. Okay. So he tells them, hold my table. And Madonna sends her private jet, which he boards. He flies 5 hours to New York, shags her, and then leaves and just flies straight back to Vegas to resume his card game. And he says, apparently, when he left the hotel room, Madonna was just standing on her head, hoping
to... She really wants to get pregnant with... She ends up getting pregnant with Guy Ritchie's kid.
Yeah, which is less exciting. I mean, say what you want about the gentleman, but either way, it's not Dennis Rodman's kid. And actually, Dennis Rodman's daughter, Trinity, she's the highest paid athlete in women's... What is she?
She's the highest paid women's footballer ever, I think.
Yeah, she's like 21. She's really young. She's killing it, yeah. She's like the US women's national team superstar at the minute.
Let's get off the sport.
Let's get back to,
bring back to the real stuff.
Dick breaking. Anyway, the Madonna thing, it does become a bit of a sideshow, and his San Antonio Spurs teammates don't always love it. So they make the playoffs, and obviously all the players' wives are watching, but bringing Madonna down creates this huge media circus. Dennis kind of pisses them off because he doesn't stay in the team hotel. He chooses to go to this mansion Madonna's rented, which can't really blame him for.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, do you want to be in the Ibis, or do you want to be do you want to be shacked up with Madonna? And he feels that there's a bit of double standards, because whenever Madonna comes, the players are all really keen to like get photos with her and meet her.
Yeah, they slag her off behind her back.
Exactly.
Not very gentlemanly.
Sickening. But eventually Madonna decides to break up with him because Dennis just isn't really giving her much time. He never sees her. He doesn't really like the circus. And he says in his book...
Or is it this that he's not getting her pregnant? Is it a bit like sort of Henry VIII that you want to...
you must cock.
Give me a son. Yeah.
To be fair, he'll survive that. Yeah, divorce, beheaded, cock chopped off. No, I think actually Dennis says that he basically is just like stops returning the calls. He says he doesn't really feel it. He's not that into her. He likes her. He feels warmly towards her.
Did he ever eat her out? Was that?
I don't know, actually. He never clarifies. What he does say in his book is that, oh, by the way, also through this whole time, I had another girlfriend.
Oh.
Who presumably does not have access to the news. Would have seen Dennis.
doesn't have eyes or ears. Yeah,
or read his memoir.
Yeah.
But apparently that relationship also breaks up because he's in Vegas with this girlfriend and the girlfriend's up in their room. And then suddenly one of Madonna's like PAs turns up at his table and they're like, come with me. And Madonna's just hiding in like the hallway of this hotel. And she's like, leave your girlfriend now and come with me. Come and shag me. And he's like, yeah, fuck it. And so he just abandons this girlfriend and flies off with Madonna.
Flies with her?
Yeah, they board her private jet, fly somewhere. And that's the end of his relationship with the girlfriend, unsurprisingly. But the Madonna...
A lot of private jet usage.
Yeah.
It's a bit like trying to Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I thought you were about to make an objection to credentials.
Carbon footprint. I hope you offset that.
It's before it was bad. Anyway, the Madonna relationship breaks up because he's not giving it much effort. And his relationship with the San Antonio Spurs is breaking up too. And there's this final flashpoint where he falls out with the coaches and in front of the whole team, he just yells in the locker room, everything you do sucks. You're losers. Kiss my ass. And that's the end of it. He leaves the Spurs.
He does. And he then joins the Chicago Bulls, who at that point are already a bit of a dynasty. So they'd won the 91, 92, 93 championships with this great team with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. They missed out in 94. And then Rodman was seen as sort of the missing piece that they needed to get back to their best. The Bulls also signed good old Jack Haley as well.
He's the Rodman whisperer.
The Rodman whisperer. So they called him Rodman's babysitter. And Haley plays one season there. He only plays one game the entire season. I think he was injured, to be fair, but also I think he's mostly there for other reasons. He gets put in the squad one time and the coach describes it as a humanitarian gesture.
God. I'd take that job. That's pretty great. Quite
gig, isn't it? Go to gay clubs and like dance with strippers and G-strings and get paid a load for it.
Yeah, it's a good life.
Yeah, it's great.
One day.
Rodman's like 34 by this point, isn't he?
Because he didn't get into the NBA until he was 22, I think. Mm. So Jack Haley leaves at the end of the season and Dennis instantly goes off the rails. So he gets ejected from one match and headbutts the ref. He gets a 6-match ban from that and $20,000 fine. The following season, though, he gets even worse. He kicks a cameraman in the groin. So he basically goes for a shot and like falls into the cameraman who's courtside and just like lashes out, boots this guy in the balls. The guy ends up in hospital. So Dennis gets a $200,000 fine for that and an 11-game suspension. He also really throws himself into the outlandish outfit. So he's got these garish hair colours, face piercings, coloured eyeshadow, his outfits as well. He goes out and turns up in like a pink feathered hat, sequined crop tops, it's like leather bicep straps, fishnet tights, like very quite like cross-dressy, really.
It is cool.
Yeah, they're cool outfits, quite ahead of their time.
Yeah, that is really ahead of its time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess like rock stars, sort of David Bowie's.
Yeah, I guess.
Prince.
He outdoes it all though at his autobiography release. So I think we mentioned it before. Bad As I Want to Be is the title of his autobiography. And he turns up to the release party in a horse-drawn carriage and steps out wearing a wedding dress with like fully made up with a blonde wig under his veil. And this like throng of tuxedo clad women escort him into a branch of Barnes and Nobles where the party's happening.
It's good style, that.
Yeah, it's
cool. Great.
You should, early 90s.
Yeah. You should try that for the launch of the new series of Industry.
With you guys carrying me in.
Horse-drawn carriage.
He then announces that he's bisexual and that he's going to be marrying himself, which you could also try.
So he announces he's bisexual. He says in the book, basically, like, I have sexual fantasies about men, but I've never acted on it.
Mm.
Again, seems odd that he would be in some way so enlightened about his sexuality and then just not try it.
But he might not want to.
Yeah, but then he's probably not bisexual. Yeah. Who am I to judge?
If you have fantasies about men and you're a man, does that make you bisexual or do you have to act on it? Answers on a postcard.
Carry on, Zach.
Slightly off topic.
Yeah, dear Drew.
Anyway, it works because the book's on the bestseller list for 5 months. We should say that the Chicago Bulls are also really successful during this period. So they win 3 consecutive championships after Dennis joins from 95 to 98. The 98 season obviously is covered in this famous Netflix documentary, The Last Dance. My favourite part of that was where Dennis disappears mid-season, goes off to Vegas. So I think they had like a little break between matches and he basically begged the coach, like, please just let me go to Vegas. And the coach eventually is like, all right, you can go for like 2 days. And obviously Monday morning comes around, Dennis is nowhere to be seen. And in the documentary, they're talking to Michael Jordan about it. And Michael Jordan's like, yeah, I knew it wasn't coming back. So Michael then goes to Las Vegas and tracks down Dennis's hotel room, comes in there, and he's in bed with Carmen Electra,
who was like top pin-up at the,
So
recently changed her name.
Actually, to
Carmen Electra.
Oh, really?
She changed it by deed poll.
Why is her real name sort of like Sylvia?
Not Carmen Electra.
Yeah, it is too cool a name to be born with.
Carmen Electra. Yeah. And she's that fit as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of too good to be true.
Yeah. Anyway, they do drag him back to Chicago and the Bulls make it to the 98 NBA Finals. They've got this 5-game series against Utah Jazz and it's all delicately poised going into game 4 when Dennis disappears again. So it's the night before the game and the rest of the team are, you know, thinking they're going to have to do it without him. They're tucked up in bed and they switch on the TV and there is Dennis wrestling with Hulk Hogan at Bash on the Beach. We've got a clip of it here.
Cover him, Dallas. Cover him.
Watch out from behind. It is... Diamond cutter on Rod Zilla. How about that?
Oh.
He's good at that.
Also, being reverse suplex there or whatever the move was they just did.
That's hard.
It's probably not great preparation for an NBA final. Looks like the sort of thing that could break your spine.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's quite good people management, like allowing him to go off like that and like blow off steam, but...
Did they even know he was...
No, to like go to Vegas, but like, I don't think they knew he was going to go and do that.
Go and do a WWE pay-per-view. No.
Mm.
Yeah, that's about the worst thing you could be doing during the NBA finals, if you want to be fit.
Yeah. He also, around this time, suffers his third and, to this point, final dick break. So he's at a hotel in New York and with this girl, and he doesn't actually give too many details on this, but his dick breaks again. I think it gets rough. And we don't need any more graphic. We don't need more graphic descriptions. I have more than enough of that. But he goes to hospital with his girlfriend, and the doctors are taking a look at it, and it's finding it a bit weird because more and more doctors keep on coming into the room. By the end, there's like 8 or 9 doctors in there. And he's just like, guys, just like, this has happened before, honestly. It's just like, give me the pill, it'll be fine.
All in unison, they're like, fuck our wives.
We'll stitch you up and then you'll be ready.
Sorry, go on.
It's like he lives in a dream though, isn't it?
Yeah. But anyway, all these doctors keep coming in and eventually like, they give him his pill, stitch him up, whatever he needs. And he goes back to his hotel room. And the next morning, the phone rings and his girlfriend picks it up. And it's one of the nurses from the hospital. And she demands $25,000 or they're going to sell the pictures to the paper.
So what, those doctors were just coming in and taking photos?
To blackmail
them.
Maybe it was one crooked nurse. We've got Dennis Rodman with a broken dick in room three. You're like, I'll pop it.
They're all doctors. They've all signed the Hippocratic Oath.
You'd still want to come and see it.
Yeah, true.
If you were a doctor, I don't think that's against the Hippocratic Oath, is it?
I think so.
What, don't come and see Dennis Rodman's dick?
I guess you have to just frame it as like, it's academic.
We're curious.
Yeah.
I think it's legit.
Yeah.
Scholars.
But one of them saw a nice little earner as well.
Yeah.
But I think what they didn't factor in is that this is Dennis Rodman, who literally could not care less about what anyone thinks about him. So he tells him to do one. So at the moment, he is in the midst of this on-off relationship with Carmen Electra. Dennis isn't the most loyal boyfriend, though. You'll be surprised to hear. So there's one time Carmen walks in on him in bed with two girls, and Dennis claims that they fell from the ceiling.
That's
He can be quite romantic, though. So one time he goes and collects her from her house. He's got a day off, and he's like, okay, we're taking you on a trip. Puts a blindfold on her and puts her on the back of his motorbike, and they drive off, and he takes her to the Bulls training facilities. So it's their day off, so there's nobody there, and he takes her in and they shag everywhere, as you can imagine. Which actually, now I think about it, it's not that romantic, is it? He's like, blindfold is like, oh, I've got a little surprise trip for you, and then you take him into the office.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the coffee machine.
Let's do it near the printer.
Yeah. But anyway, they have a good time. She enjoys it.
Do we know that for a fact?
I think she actually tells the story.
Oh, does she? Okay.
She says they do it like on the practice courts, in the showers.
I think if your workplace is the Chicago Bulls,
it's more exciting than the co-working space.
Yeah, exactly. Local accounting firm. Yeah.
But that's quite exciting as well, to be honest.
Yeah. It's not always so fun though. So in 1999, police are called to their hotel room after receiving calls about a heated argument. So basically, Carmen and Dennis had been on this night out. They got pretty wasted, come back to the hotel room, and Dennis passed out on the bed. And Carmen decided to have a little bit of fun. So I'm just going to read Dennis's description of what happened. For whatever twisted reason, Carmen would occasionally ask me to let her shove things up my nice butt. But I was like, no, no, no. Home, we don't play that. Carmen was like, whatever. So the woman takes out this piece of penne pasta, this uncooked, hard-edged penne pasta, a couple of inches long, and sticks it where the sun don't shine. Well now, I felt that sharp edge in my tender parts, and I came out of that bed flailing. What the fuck?
So she just had a bag of pasta to hand.
Yeah.
Did she plan this ahead?
I mean, I have to say, if you're
going to... She made the pasta herself, dried it out.
Yeah. If you're going to penetrate someone with pasta, penne's probably the best name. I imagine if it had been
Fusilli.
Fusilli's quite a thing. It's like corkscrew.
Just sort of twisted in.
The bow ties would hurt. Yeah. I don't know which way they're going in. I guess
also spaghetti. I don't know. I think spaghetti, if that broke inside them.
Oh, it's like a big fingernail.
Yeah.
But gnocchi, that'd be nice. It's like anal beads.
Oh, yeah, gnocchi's the one. And they're a bit smoother.
Exactly.
They're rough edge.
They might not come back.
And if they do, I'm certainly not eating them.
Yeah.
Right, so she's just putting pasta up his butt.
What was she expecting? Was she expecting sort of Lady in the Tramp vibe?
Or ass to ass?
Yeah, I was going to say ass to mouth, but...
Yeah, oh, you think she's going to eat it?
Yeah.
You cook it first, no? Although it'd be quite hard to get it in.
The body heat might heat it up overnight.
You pour a bit of warm water in there and just seal him shut. No,
it's
like, yeah. You know how Italians get quite prissy about pasta being miscooked. Does this count?
The best way to cook pasta is up at Dennis Rodman's ass.
His ass. Wow. Okay. So she's kind of out-mentaled Dennis Rodman. In fairness, it's a bit of a checkmate.
Yeah, it is. Well,
so, oh, you're Mr. I'll try anything, are you?
Yeah.
Will you cook pasta in your ass?
Maybe it works because they get married after this.
At least
didn't put him off.
The wedding breakfast.
There's only one course. Trust me, you won't be hungry after this.
Yeah, they get married in Vegas, which is very on brand.
Fitting.
Next door to his favourite strip club. So the after party sort
of
as well.
Is that where the reception was?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think the success rate is of marriages where the wedding is...
held in a strip club.
Well, this one lasts 9 days.
Dennis, that's long.
Dennis, well, he files for annulment after 9 days. I think maybe it took a little bit longer to go through. But Dennis claims that he was of an unsound mind when they married.
Right, I think that's pretty clear. So, what, and then is that the end of him and Carmen Electra? There's no like sort of...
Yeah, I think that's the end of it, really. So the Bulls do win the NBA that year, 1998. Back to... You were on tenterhooks to find out what would happen there. But that's
the most famous basketball season of all time. We're like, by the way, they won.
Yeah. The Last Dance. And at the end of that season, Jordan, Rodman and Scottie Pippen all leave.
Mm. And that's really the end of his NBA career, isn't it? He has a little stint at the Lakers in LA where he later says that he was shagging the team's owner. Just a little.
Who was the team's owner?
I don't know that much about her.
Pasta magnate.
Yeah. Yeah, she's this Italian chef.
Yeah. She's called Mrs. Del Mio.
But his career's really winding down once he does a couple of years at the Lakers, and he finally hangs up his boots in the NBA in 2000, does the odd exhibition match for like weird, obscure Eastern European sides. But now he's into his post-NBA chapter where... He does a good 10 years where he's just sort of a famous, I guess, like a wild man. He just pops up at parties, boozing quite hard. There's a famous moment in 2010 when he calls a radio phone in while he's receiving a blowjob.
Dennis Rodman joins us here on 790 The Ticket. Dennis, good morning.
How you, brother?
I'm doing okay, man. What's going on with you right now?
Right now? Seriously? You want to know? Love is good, man. Love is good. Thank you.
Dennis, are you getting it on in the car right now or what?
I'm in my bedroom.
Are you in the bedroom? Are you getting it on? Oh, then we know exactly what's going on in the bedroom.
Ooh, that's awesome. You know, dude, I'm so in the mix right now.
I know, dude. Why are you calling me then? What the hell are you talking to me for? If you've got that chick there, what the hell? Why the hell did you want to call me, Dennis?
Oh, no, dude. Here, honey. Sick of mine.
So apparently Dennis just phoned in as well. They were having like a radio phone in about the NBA, and he just calls in. It's like, yeah, I want to be on the show. And then he's just, yeah, getting a blowy. One of the 101 ways you can suck cock is taking place.
On live radio.
Yeah, on live radio. Famous moment. But then just when it's looking like Dennis is, you know, maybe struggling to find his vocation in life, he finds a new role as an international power broker. In 2013, he is invited to play an exhibition match in North Korea. And, you know, I think a lot of people would probably balk at the idea of going and spending some time in a hermit totalitarian kingdom. But Dennis's agent doesn't know the difference between North and South Korea. So he just hears Korea and it's like, yeah, fuck it, sure. We'll take the money. Thinks it'll be like a nice weekend of K-pop and kimchi. And Dennis has no idea until he lands in China to change for the flight to Korea. At which point someone on the plane is like, by the way, you know what the vibe is in North Korea, right? And they're explaining it to him. And he's like, what the fuck? And he says when he gets there, he really tries to back out of it. He doesn't want to do it. But, you know, he's advised that it's probably not a good idea to renege on his agreement while in Pyongyang. So he goes to this exhibition match. And before the game, he's kind of waiting around. And the North Korean officials say to him, look, can you just wait here for a second? Suddenly, Dennis hears this huge cheer from the crowd and he thinks it's for him. He starts waving, but he hasn't realized that sidling up next to him is none other than North Korean despot Kim Jong-un. And eventually they get talking and Dennis realizes that Kim is a massive basketball fan. And Kim asks him if he can arrange for him to go to Madison Square Garden to watch a game. To my knowledge, has not taken place.
I'm sure that's allowed.
Yeah. Can you get me a visa?
Heavy disguise.
Just pretend you're my 12-year-old friend. Anyway, this begins this very shocking friendship. And Dennis makes three more trips to North Korea in the next year. One time he brings a team with him of ex-players and they play this exhibition match. On one occasion, his agent says that Dennis is on the bender to end all benders. So he's just like completely hammered. There's actually like there's a video of him on CNN where he's trying to defend his decision to work with North Korea. And he's just so hammered. He's not making much sense. And this all looks like it's kind of a bit of a meltdown. But Dennis does end up doing a few good deeds thanks to his relationship. That year, he secures the release of an American prisoner who had been sent to a labor camp in North Korea. And Dennis tweets asking Kim Jong-un to release him. And he is released a few months later. And then in 2018, Dennis had always been quite good mates with Donald Trump.
Trump tends to sort of be mates with these more maverick sports stars. Talked about it on our John Daly episode. And in 2018, when North Korea and America hold these historic peace talks, Dennis Rodman accompanies Donald Trump in the entourage.
He's sort of the unofficial ambassador, isn't
yeah. he? Yeah. I don't know if he actually did broker the peace talks or if he was just taken along for the ride, but...
Did he... Do you not know that? Can you imagine what he's like? He's the America's top diplomat.
Yeah, well, no, so that is... So apparently some people in the intelligence community think that he is a CIA intelligence officer.
Under, yeah, really? Yeah, deep yeah. cover.
And it's the best cover story of all time.
I've trained for 30 years. I've broken my dick 3 times.
Put pasta in my ass and befriended 2 12-year-olds, all for this moment, to win the approval.
Secure the release of 1 American pasta.
No one would suspect it. It's like a de-escalate the nuclear arms race. Yeah. But I mean, he is in the entourage. He goes to the peace talks. Yeah. I don't know if he has like a key role in it or if he's just like along for the ride.
I reckon the CIA would have at least contacted him after he was there to ask what the vibe was. Or
yeah. I think it is genuinely plausible that he helps persuade Kim Jong-un to talk
to Trump.
I doubt
that's
yeah.
true.
Which whether is pretty
he was
nuts.
A, yeah, yeah. yeah, whether he was a deep cover operative, I think, is another
question. Yeah, I don't think it was the plan from day one yeah. when he's like stealing watches in Oklahoma or wherever it is. But yeah, I think, you know, the latter years of Rodman's career, it looked briefly like he might go fully off the rails. He had a drink problem for a bit, but he's looking pretty healthy these days. And, you know, he's doing his peace
yeah,
talks.
Mr. Yeah. Ambassador.
His Excellency, yeah, Dennis Rodman. So, I mean, that's basically the Rodman story thus far. I feel like we might get a few more chapters.
How old is he?
62.
Wow.
He's 62, yeah. So he's
good for him.
He'll be getting his freedom pass pretty soon. Do you think in the UK he's getting like an OBE if he was British? Sort of national treasure figure.
What's the equivalent in the UK?
Chris Eubank.
Yeah, I was about to say that. That's so random.
Just super eccentric.
Yeah, super eccentric guy.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's probably all we've got time for. Thanks a lot for listening. If you're enjoying this, please do share it with your friends. Stick it in your WhatsApp groups. It really helps us grow. And yeah, join us again for another sordid episode, Mickey. That was a weird comment.
yes,
thanks,
I will.
Thanks a lot, Mickey.
I can't wait.
And thanks, Zach.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.